Hello, my name is Carol Welke. I am the creator of the Next Level Occupational Therapy Platform. We are a community of occupational therapists who are on a mission to help other occupational therapists develop their own business. We have an online Facebook group to help support OT and OTA professionals to help them on their path to OT entrepreneurship. Throughout the next several shows, I will be interviewing OTs and OTAs that have started their own business so that you can learn from those who have already been through the process that you are looking to start. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Erin Gruwich. She has been an occupational therapist for 18 years and has always had a passion for working with children. She lives in Southern Alberta, and Erin started a mobile sensory clinic 1 year ago. This allowed her to provide services to clients at their home without the inconvenience of being in their home. Having a mobile sensory clinic allows her to have all of her sensory equipment with her so she can most effectively treat her clients at their home. So happy to have you here, Erin. Can you first start with just telling us all about your current business?
Yeah, so I live in Southern Alberta and I have a mobile sensory clinic. So last year, around this time, I converted a bus into a clinic on wheels. So I have contracts with school boards, and I have some private clients who pay out of pocket, but mainly it's through school contracts, and I take the bus with me and do my treatment and assessment in the bus, and so it travels to the client's home or to the school or the preschool where they're at, and I don't have to worry about space issues, and I don't have to go into people's homes, like you said. They come into the bus and they're happy to see the bus pull up. So my business is called Sensational Path, and it's a mobile sensory clinic. And then I also have started to offer, because lots of people have contacted me about how did I do this, and there were talks about franchise and all this, but I don't want a franchise. I'm not ready for that. But I do offer business coaching to other OTs who want some help either creating a bus or just problem solving their space issues.
So how did you, can you tell us a little bit about the process of finding a bus and revamping it? Did you do that yourself? Did you hire someone to do it?
Yeah, we did it ourselves. I found a bus. I guess I could back up and kind of talk about the process, but I bought the bus on Kijiji. Do you have Kijiji in the States?
Well, I don't think so. I don't know what it is.
It's like a online sales place. So
okay. Yeah. Yeah, we have marketplaces where you can buy stuff online.
Yeah. So I found the bus there, and I had my friend who's a mechanic go and check the bus out for me. And he said, yeah, it was a good bus. And so I bought the bus. I had a couple. So I will back up because there is a bit of a process to it, but I ran like a crowdfunding campaign. One of the banks here in Alberta, which is a government-owned bank, they run a ATB booster program. So that's to help entrepreneurs kind of get started. It's like a Kickstarter program. So you put your idea out. It helps to validate your idea, to gain awareness of your idea, and to raise money. So through this Kickstarter, this booster campaign, I raised money or pre-sold time on the bus to people, and then that helped me raise funds to get the project started. So that was, and it also helped me validate the idea, because I thought this was a good idea. I had this idea for like 10 years and I never moved on it. And then I saw this booster campaign information and I thought, well, why don't I test this out before forking over a whole bunch of money, see if people would pay for it. And one of my big contributors was the school board that I work for, or that I'm contracted with. So they purchased a lot of time and that helped kind of get things on the go.
Yeah, that's a neat idea and a great way to get started with it. So then once you got the bus, you kind of gutted it and put everything in yourself?
Yeah, I looked at different places online for like what they're called schoolies. Those are people who convert buses. I didn't know that before. And so I was able to kind of follow their process of how they get it ready to put equipment in. So I ripped out the seats. My husband and I did that. Got good at using power tools. And we ripped out the seats. The flooring in there was okay, so we didn't have to do much with the flooring, just seal the bolt holes. And then we had to try to figure out how to outfit it, what equipment to put in it, how to make it safe, so matting and what to put on the walls so that kids wouldn't hit their heads on the walls and stuff like that. So a lot of it was done ourselves and on a budget. IKEA was our main provider of mats and stuff. But and then the big question that I had was, how do you hang suspended equipment in a bus? Like, it's not like hanging equipment in a room. Mm-hmm. So tried to problem solve that and figure that out. That was really hard to get answers on. And then my mechanic said, oh, I know how you can do that. So he's familiar with the ins and outs of buses, and he was able to tell us where we could hang bolts and how much weight it would support and whatnot. So we took it to his shop and he did it, and we picked it up, and they were all excited to play on the mechanics. We're all excited to play on the bus. So
that's awesome. So with the bus, do you have like different liability or professional insurance that you need to take it?
Yeah, I mean, the bus itself needed its own insurance, and that was kind of tricky to get because, you know, it's not a bus anymore, but it is mobile. So I was able to get insurance after explaining what exactly it was. So it's actually registered as a utility vehicle, not a bus. That was the suggestion that the registration had. And then it's insured for, you know, the structure of a bus. And then I have a lot of liability insurance, but similar to what I would have if it was a brick and mortar.
Right, right. Yeah.
So I just took out as much as I could.
Now, do you do it cash-based, or do you bill insurance, or how do you do payment? And I know you said you had contracts, and then you have other, like, kids or clients you see.
So mainly, the majority of my work is through school contracts. So I send an invoice at the end of the month, and they pay me 15 days later, and that works out well. Then I have a few out-of-pocket people. So one is through what we call FSCD, so that's Family Services for Children with Disabilities. So I bill them the same way. So at the end of a month, I'll send them a bill for the hours that I worked, and they submit it to Family Services for Children with Disabilities, and they get reimbursed, and then they reimburse me. Now, if I had a lot of clients like that, I might want payment more upfront, but this works for this particular family and it works for me. And then I do have some people who just pay at the end of the session, and I send them their invoice and they submit for insurance or coverage if they have that. I was talking to somebody yesterday about this because I don't have a lot of like one-on-one clients that come solely to use the bus, and I haven't promoted that. Well, I've tried to promote it a little bit, but funding down here is a little bit different. I guess I should say up here because I'm above you. But funding in Southern Alberta seems to be a bit different, and the people who provide that funding, they hold on to it a little bit tighter. So it's harder for private practice OTs to get that funding. They give the funding more to an agency that has OT and speech and multidisciplinary team. So I haven't really fought that battle yet, but I think it would be helpful to my clientele if that was a resource for them. So moving forward, that that's something that I'm going to advocate for. I looked at getting grants so that the service would be more readily available, and that's something that we're looking into for this year. But like I said, once school starts, I'm busy. I have a fairly full caseload, and I have two young kids at home, so I need some time with them as well.
Yeah, it's important to have that work-life balance.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. You said you had this idea 10 years ago is when you kind of first started. And then I know you said once you heard about that funding source, that kind of kick-started you. But thinking way back to 10 years, can you kind of talk about, like, why, were there any other reasons it took you 10 years before you jump-started this besides, you know, money?
I think I saw it as this cool idea. I saw a picture of a bus on Facebook or somewhere online that was equipped with gymnastics equipment. And I thought, that's a cool idea. But I had just finished my sensory integration praxis training, so my SIP training. And I lived in Slovenia at the time. And it didn't really seem like a model that was necessary over there. I had a clinic that people would come to. And so it was, what I had was okay. Then we moved back to Canada from Slovenia, and people wouldn't come necessarily to a clinic. Like, they didn't want to travel. And I worked for the government at the time. And I kept seeing a need for this service. I live in a rural area. People have to travel. Like, the closest city to me is an hour away. So I had to travel to work. And then clients who lived in my town or even 30 minutes west of me had to travel an hour, hour and a half to get to their appointments. And so I started seeing this as, you know, these are families who have children with special needs. These are families who are already maxed out. Why do they have to travel to these appointments? Why can't we go to them? But then they didn't often want us in their home. We didn't necessarily want to be in some of these homes to put ourselves at risk. So the idea of a bus just started creeping back up on me, and I left my position with the government to fulfill these school contracts. And it was the same day that I heard about this booster campaign idea. And it all just sort of happened at once. I went private, or I gave my notice to go private, and then suddenly I was running a campaign to have a bus, and then it just all happened. I was like, okay, so it just sort of magically unfolded.
That's awesome and amazing. I mean, that it all kind of just came together and led you to this awesome opportunity. So that's neat. So thinking about someone that, you know, because I see lots of interest, and even in our next level group, before you joined our group, someone had posted that, have you seen the mobile clinic idea? That would be neat. I wonder how to start and things like that. So do you have tips, like maybe five top tips that you would give someone that wants to start a mobile sensory clinic? Like, yeah, where to start or what to do?
Well, I have some general tips, and I think they relate to starting a clinic, but just do it. That was my big thing. I know there's lots of people who have commented on my bus and said, oh, I had thought about doing that, and do it. Like, it's so, I haven't looked back and said, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Like, I'm at a point where I need to look at what's the next step. Like, there's only so much of me to go around. But it's a good viable service. It's a way to solve that problem of space, that problem of our clients having to travel, and just kind of being more client-centered. So follow your dream. If you have a dream, whether it's a bus or something else, just go for that and do it. That's easy to say, but my next tip was, don't reinvent the wheel. So find somebody who has done this, whether it's a bus, whether it's starting a clinic, find somebody who has done it and follow their lead. Don't try to do it differently. That's harder, right? So work smarter. That was my other tip, was find my tips. So find someone who has done it before you. I did some training with Brendan Bouchard, and that's one of the things that he says in his training for entrepreneurs is, you know, lay out your dream and your goal, your North Star, and then find somebody who has done that and find out what the steps are that they did. So yep. The steps were doing that crowdfunding campaign so that I could validate that idea. There's no sense building this big bus that nobody's going to use, right? So I needed to know that people would use this. And so I had to test the market a little bit and then figure out what those steps were. But for me, there wasn't anyone that I knew of. I couldn't get a hold of anyone who had done this before. So that was hard for me to then ask somebody, how do you do this? I could ask people who had set up sensory gyms how to do that, but a bus was so much different. So finding that those people that know what the bus is like or come and ask me, I'm happy to help people with those next steps.
In Canada, does the Occupational Therapy Association there have very many resources for OTs to develop businesses or to support them in this process?
Yeah, there's some private practice, like communities of practice, but for specifically for the bus, no. And when I did my booster campaign, at the same time there was a course or a group for entrepreneurs, and it showed you how to set up a business plan, and it was a competition. So I love competitions. Okay. So I was like, well, I'll do this. So it kind of showed me like how to start a business plan and how to do market research. And it was running at the same time as my booster campaign. So that sort of fell together. There are probably more resources than I was aware of. Where I live, it's small, and you know, there's the internet, but I needed someone physically to help me.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, a lot of the purpose why we started this group is just that mentorship and support is so important, to be able to have people to bounce ideas off. And even once you're going, there's always things that come up. So
yeah. I guess my other plan or my other tip for if you are wanting to start a mobile clinic, figure out kind of what size bus you want and get someone to look under the hood and do all those. As OTs, we're not, you know, we have lots of great problem solving ideas and ways to break things down and analyze. But myself, I'm not a mechanic, and I really needed someone who understood the engine and the bus to know what to look for, right? I could open the hood, but I still don't know.
How far a distance do you travel?
So I have schools. The farthest school I have is an hour and a half drive.
Okay. So you do take bus quite a ways then.
Yeah. I don't go there often, but, when the weather's good, I try to get there once a month.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, my tips were like, go for it, follow your dream, find somebody who has done this before and get them to help, ask them how to do it. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Make a plan. Let go of perfection. For me, yes. I was like, oh, there's rust on the outside of this bus. I need to paint the bus. And it was like, no, the bus still hasn't been painted, by the way. It still has rust, but that gives it some character. And I can provide services if the outside isn't perfect. The inside needs to be functional is what I went for. So yes, there's still little things that I want to fix and make it pretty, but it's very functional. And then my last tip, which probably should be my first tip, is just make sure when you're starting your business that you make time for fun and family and for yourself. It's really easy to get burnt out and burn the candle at both ends, so to speak. And there are lots of things that I just kept plowing through. And luckily I have a supportive husband who is still with me and by my side, but you know, there was times where it was, a little bit heated.
Well, and I totally agree. And a lot of times we are wanting to start our own business because we're burnt out in our current job and not liking it. But then when we start a new business, you get so into it and are so focused in it and putting so much time and energy, you sometimes forget everything around you. And we really need to keep that important balance in our lives. So I know I'm struggling with that right now. This summer I did, my one daughter was like, you don't usually work in the summer since I teach. So I tried to keep it to a minimum as possible so we could still do that family time. So yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, I've had the summer off and it's not been great for the pocketbook, but it's been great for our family. And I think that's important.
I have a couple other questions. Do you do just individual treatment or do you ever do groups of kids?
I do run groups. So I see preschool age kids, and oftentimes I have five children that are in one preschool, and they're only there for the morning. So they're only there for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And it's really hard to get all of them in one time. And so I've run some groups, and actually the physiotherapist that I work with at that preschool, she was asking, we were problem solving one day, and she just said, I don't know how to see, like I have 19 kids on my caseload and they're all morning preschool. And how am I going to see them? They're in different areas. And I said, well, run groups. And she said, well, I don't have a space because often she's doing therapy in the hallway. I said, you need a bus. The bus has been good for that because I can run groups or family oriented practice sessions where the family and the child are in there. I've had several of those sessions where I'll have like up to six kids and family at once. It gets a little crowded sometimes, but six is the most kids that I would recommend in my bus.
Do you ever do treatment off the bus?
Sometimes, yeah. Especially like we have pretty harsh winters. This was our first winter out with the bus and February was really cold. So to get the bus started and heated up was a bit of an issue, and that's something that lots of people ask me about too. And so on those days, or if it was the roads weren't so good, I would just go with the car and do treatment in the space there. One of the schools that I'm contracted with is on the reserve, and I go there twice a week, but I'm setting up a classroom there for them so that the days that I'm not there, they can continue to get services or have a calm down space and get their sensory needs met.
That's fantastic. Now I saw on your site that, do you have a thing that you can rent the bus to?
Yeah, I tried that. It hasn't been super popular. I thought it would be like a space where you could have birthday parties. I had two birthday parties so far. And, the first one was, well, they both were very busy. There were a lot of kids. I tell the families when they rent the bus that, six kids is a nice number. At one time we had 21 because the weather was bad and they didn't want to be outside. They didn't have a space outdoors. So that was a bit crowded. But I tried that as a, another revenue stream. But it didn't really catch on here in town. But I haven't pushed it a lot because that would mean that I have to go to all these birthday parties or hire somebody to take the bus. And
have you thought about hiring any other staff or?
Yeah, I'm at a point right now where I would really like to hire another staff. Again, where I live, it seems like that. So Calgary is, if you've heard of Calgary, Alberta, that's where the Olympics were in 88. But Calgary seems, OTs seem to stop at Calgary and they don't come further south. I'm 2 hours south of Calgary and I think there's a shortage down here of at least three OTs. So it would be hard, not saying impossible, but it's hard to find another OT. But I've been talking to a couple of people about just OTAs kind of filling in. I'm looking at kind of outsourcing some of my virtual work so that I can hire a virtual assistant and I don't have to be behind the computer all the time doing some of those things.
Right.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
Well, I love this concept. I think it's fabulous, and I wish you all the best. Do you have any other last tips for anybody that's wanting to get started in a business in general or in the mobile business? I think your tips were all fantastic, and I agree with all of them.
Thanks. I guess I would just put it out there, if somebody is looking to start a mobile, reach out. I would be happy to help problem solve or answer some questions. I know I've had lots of emails lately just asking different questions. So I've tried to post some question and answer. So if people want to reach out to me or follow me on my website, and then I'm running a bus boot camp that I have a beta test running. So if people want to know all the ins and outs of a bus and the answers, that's my little plug, shameless plug, but yeah, you can find information either on my Facebook page, or I have a member vault. I can give you the link and you can post that.
I can sure post that.
Yeah, that'd be great. But yeah, just if you have questions, reach out. I'm happy to answer. And I wish that somebody was available to answer my bus questions when I was starting up. So I'm there for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so very much. And you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Next Level Occupational Therapy podcast. Be sure you check out the Next Level Occupational Therapy Facebook page to keep up to date on all the new happenings.